Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Schofstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is an open mic show. It is a question and answer discussion. And our special co-host tonight will be Felicia Reed. Felicia is a trauma-informed recovery coach who suffered the entire spectrum of abuses from the age of 5 to 51. That was the point where she started the healing and on her recovery process. Learning about using coaching and self-healing techniques saved her life. Felicia founded Put It in Perspective, in where she currently works to teach these tools to groups and individuals. In addition, she has worked in community service programs as a key volunteer and activist for youth and women, and serves on a cyber awareness forum that promotes online safety. She's also a Pollyanna and a very good person. I always look forward to hosting the show when Felicia is here with us. We do need some panel members to call in, and we know a lot of people do stream in. It's a very easy show to do. Please call in and join us. The number is 646-595-2118, 595-2118. Before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little bit about NASCA. Excuse me. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, we would love to have the help. It is tax deductible. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially as getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse and other abuses as well. We present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Be aware, be a voice, be a hero, get involved. Thank you very much. So we do have Lori who has called in. Felicia hasn't called in at this time. Hopefully some other people will call in, and hopefully Felicia will as well. But I am going to go ahead and open Lori's mic, and she's actually one of our new panel members, and she's calling in from Canada. Good evening, Lori. How are you?
I'm good, Tammy. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. I've had some microphone problems.
Oh, that's okay. I think I had my volume turned down. Hopefully everybody could hear what I was saying.
I heard you.
Could you hear me?
You sounded fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good deal.
But
my
microphone acting up.
Oh, that's okay. Well, Felicia is our scheduled co-host. Hopefully she'll be calling in soon. We definitely need some other folks to call in. But I wanted to welcome you, and if you want to take an opportunity to tell anyone who's listening a little bit about yourself, now would be a great time. So, Lori?
Sure. Yeah, then I'd be glad to. My name is Lori Smith. I live in Alberta, Canada, Calgary, Alberta. And I'm from the States originally, from New Mexico, born and raised, and moved up here to Canada when I was about 30. My parents were Canadian, and they both were born in Nova Scotia. And so I have dual citizenship, so that's kind of why I moved up here. But I've been around NASCA for a while. I've known Bill for a long time, back when he first started NASCA. And I've done my own kind of online type work, you know, blog talk radio type stuff, just trying to reach survivors of abuse. I'm a survivor myself, and been on my healing journey now for quite a while, since around 2007 is when I started. So, but I didn't start till late in life, like the age of 42. So I'm still working on things. And but yeah, I love NASCA and I love what we're doing. I'm the Alberta ambassador for NASCA, and I used to be around a little bit more and a few years ago, but my husband was very, very sick, terminally ill, and I was sick as well. So things just didn't go well for a couple of years, you know. So I didn't do a whole lot of any sort of advocating or, you know, stuff like that. Sort of took some time off. But now it's time to get back busy again. It's time to get back at it. So.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. And Bill told me that you were going to be a new panel member and possibly host. And so I'm really excited about that. Tuesday and Thursday, we definitely need the support. So either one of those nights would be amazing.
Yeah, well, it's my turn to step up to the plate, you know.
Oh, great, great, great. Thank you, thank you. I actually do the schedule, so I will be filling out the schedule in the next couple of days. I'm usually on here on Thursday night, so I'm definitely going to put you on Thursday night if that works for you.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'd be glad to do it.
Sure.
Great.
And
I love
these
shows.
When you're absolutely.
Yeah. They're
very important, know when you're ready.
Shows.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready anytime. You can put me on there for this anytime, because actually my schedule's open right now. I'm not working.
Well, I'll start you off as a panel, as a trailer, and then then I'll work with you to see when you're ready to co-host, and then I'll be here to support you. So I'm really excited. So thank you.
Me too. I'm excited too. Thank you. It's
absolutely
a great opportunity, and I love the NASCA group, and I love it. You know, you're like my family. And I don't have any other family, and my husband passed away, so it's been kind of, you know, I'm relying on people that I know, you know, that I've known over the years, who are my family, really, not by blood, but just, you know, because we share in this common goal, and I just love what NASCA does. I share it around on my websites and stuff. It's so important to share this information, because you never know who out there is a survivor of abuse. You know, we may, you know, going through life, run into people who we would never tell you that they're a survivor of abuse or that they're hurting and need help. And so I always share the shows and different information on my websites, different places, and Facebook, because you never know who's a survivor, right?
That's absolutely correct.
So I hope
correct.
We reach more people. Yeah, it's so important.
I run into survivors all the time, everywhere I go. All I have to say is NASCA, and then sometimes that brings it up because I say, oh, well, tell me about NASCA. And then I've been out in the community, and then, you know, my friends know what I do and how I'm affiliated with NASCA, and next thing I know, I'm listening to my friend's story. And I'm glad to, and you know, honored to. So there's a lot of us out there. And first of all, I'd like to say I'm sorry about the loss of your husband. I'm so sorry to hear that. If it was, you know, it may have been a while. It sounds like that you're getting picking yourself up by the bootstraps and getting back involved.
It's been 2 years.
A significant loved one like that, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, these things happen. I mean, this is part of life, right? And I think, you know, we just have to keep going and just keep, you know, just sort of muddling through. And then there's that one day, you know, when you can. you can do a bit more, and you can, you know, smile a bit more and find a little bit more joy, you know, and it does happen. It just takes time. Grief is a lot of work.
Absolutely.
And you have to go through the stages, steps, and so that's I'm 2 years past it now, so I'm feeling pretty good these days and getting my own health situated a little bit better than it was. So
okay, well, good. I'm glad
yeah.
to hear that. And also, before I go to the next folks, you're welcome. This is NASCA. How do I say this? You are part of the NASCA family. NASCA is we call ourselves the NASCA family because we do support each other. And like you said, you know, we're a family of survivors, a community of survivors, with the intention of supporting each other. So you're welcome,
yeah.
welcome. And welcome to the hosting panel as well.
Well, thank you, Tammy. That's awesome.
Excellent. Sure. Thank you. Next, I'm going to go, Mr. Bill Murray has called in, and his mic is open. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Hello, ladies. I'm trying to drum up some participants again. I seem to do this every time. And I did text Felicia, who didn't respond right away, so I don't know what's up with her. But we'll have a show. It's
okay.
An open mic discussion, by the way, for anyone listening. So we don't have a topic. You'll suggest the topic if you wish, wish to call in. And maybe you have a question or a comment or something you'd like to hear discussed. So tonight is the perfect time to do that. And, so I'm inviting any listener, as you say, streaming in, Tammy, to, give us a call at 646-595-2118. And we'll see how this goes. But anyway, we're going to have a good talk no matter what. And I'm looking forward
to it. Absolutely. Well, I know sometimes she gets caught up in class or in a coaching session, and she has come in late a couple of times. So she very well may show up. Hopefully she does. But like you said, I'll go through the panel, and hopefully other people will call in, and we'll come up with a topic, and we'll just go at it. And when and if she calls in, we'll just fold her right into the conversation. Thank you, Bill, for calling in. And I was only teasing when Lori said, you know, I've known Bill for quite some time, and I was like, bless your heart or something like that. You know, I'm just teasing you. You know I love you.
Well, that's how I feel, too. Isn't that sweet? Boy, she's put up with a lot, huh?
Bless your heart, Lori. Oh no, we wouldn't trade you. We wouldn't trade you for all the tea in China.
I think it's
so
the other way around. It's the other way around.
No,
so
no. We're like I said, we're a NASCA family. So thank you all for being here. I really appreciate the support. Next, I'm going to go to Miss Darlene in Tennessee. Good evening, Darlene in Tennessee. How are you?
I'm okay, but I'm in Alabama visiting at the moment.
Oh, Darlene from Tennessee, who's in Alabama.
Yeah, I originally came from Alabama, so I forgot my banjo. I left it behind, you know.
All right. Well thank you for being here. Go ahead.
I think y'all picked a good topic. I think y'all already picked a good topic. What will you say it?
Well, tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what's on your heart that you've picked up on that would be a good topic for us to start. Now would be a great time, Darlene. What's on your mind?
We are a family. You know, a lot of people might not think that. Then whenever we call in and then we get together, and if more just called in, that family will get to know them better if they called in and became part of the panel as well. You know, this is all just a family, you know, discussion and caring and sharing, empathy, love, acceptance.
Absolutely. Well, we do know that a lot of people stream in. We can tell that from the stats. So, again, if anyone would like to call in, the telephone number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. And I think I'll just pick up on what Darlene said. You know, a lot of times, I'll get us going, and then we'll see what direction we go in. You know, a lot of times when we're survivors, no matter what our story is or what type of abuse we are healing from or trying to heal from or getting started healing from, a lot of times prior to that, we just feel alone. I can't tell you how many times I've heard folks say, you know, I thought I was the only one. You know, when I went to, I have a family member that says, you know, when I went to school, you know, in elementary school and junior high, you know, I thought I was the only one who was going through this. Lo and behold, I didn't realize that there were, you know, people that I was interacting with all the time who were going through the same thing. So with that said, you know, it is important for survivors to get plugged into a support system, no matter what that is. And it could be different for different things for different people. There's a lot of stuff out there. If you go to our NASCA website, Bill has a ton of tools out there. You know, it may be a therapist. You know, it may be a church. You know, a lot of us survivors, you know, we were betrayed in the church. So, you know, that if the church is in a place, for some people that is their safe haven. For those who are not, there are other venues. There are, you know, psychologists. There are, you know, there may be some local group meetings, and then we've got NASCA, which is, you know, we're all over the country, all over the world. On this panel alone, we've got someone from Canada, we've got two people from Florida, we've got someone from Tennessee. When and if Felicia calls in, she'll be calling in from Maryland. So we reach a national and an international audience to support each other. And although our story is unique to ourselves, there's a lot of common threads. There are a lot of common themes. A lot of times when we start talking about the healing process or some of the things that we've gone through, you know, a lot of us can relate. It'll hit on something. Well, I can relate to that. I kind of, you know, I felt like that, you know, in my story, you know, it was a little, you know, this happened or that happened. And then we can help each other heal and give each other, you know, ideas on how to heal. What works for some people, you know, may not work for somebody else. So you've got to find, you know, one needs, I would think, you know, one needs to find, you know, their own personal healing journey that may be a combination of things. So I guess at this point, you know, my healing journey, I'll tell you about my healing journey. I've never been to a psychiatrist. I don't take, you know, there's nothing wrong if somebody needs to take medication, but that's not a part of my story. NASCA is the core of my healing path. You know, that and the self-education, get myself educated when I was working on my degrees. You know, I did, especially in my psychology classes, I did a lot of research on child abuse and healing. I got plugged into some local charities, you know, especially when I was in South Carolina, that helped me to get myself on the healing path. And then when I plugged into NASCA, I hooked up with Bill, hooked up with other survivors, and that's been a big part of my healing journey. And it's worked for me. You know, I've got a long way to go, but I've come a long way as well. So let's turn it over to the panel. Let's start with Lori. Lori, you kind of hit on that a little bit. So you want to talk about your healing, you know, some of your support techniques, and, you know, you want to, sure. Or if you want to take it a different place, that's fine. Yeah. But I'm going to turn the mic over to you, Lori.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's great. I know. For my healing journey, I started, like I said, late in life, 42 years old. I wanted to go the route of sort of group therapy because I didn't really trust one-on-one therapy because my trust issues were really, really just not there. I didn't trust anybody. And so I decided, okay, group support would be best for me because there's witnesses in support groups. And I just joined an online support group, first of all, that was anonymous. And it was the first time I had ever reached out, you know. I was just desperate to connect with people that could understand somewhat what I've been through. And so I signed up for this anonymous support group, and it was so helpful to that first step, taking that first step of just reaching out and getting involved, and just opened up my whole world to people that were empathetic and, you know, knew how hard it was and could really relate to where I was coming from. And I thought, this is so wonderful. And it just went from there. So, yeah, I'm like you, Tammy. I never did go the route of a counselor or a therapist, but there's nothing wrong with that. And, if you know, some people may find that that's what they need, and that works for them, and that's great. It's kind of whatever the survivor needs. We all have to make those decisions and of what's best for us, you know, in that regard. But for me, it was all about group support, and I still like group support. I had a support group going for ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, and then for SIA, Survivors of Incest Anonymous, and it was great to have those groups going because it was helpful for me too, you know, to be part of that group. And so I still like the support groups, and once in a while still attend the odd meeting for the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, and it's still very helpful. So I just like that route. It worked for me. But I did use a lot of, like you said, I did a lot of research. I did a lot of self-help. So I got John Bradshaw's books. I got a whole bunch of books from different people who were out there, you know, writing and putting out material for survivors of abuse. And I did the work in them. I actually would go through and do the homework and process what I needed to process. It really made a huge difference. Absolutely. So that's what I've done.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. And if there's anyone who's listening, you know, that's some good pointers. You know, we've come up with some good pointers for someone who may be asking themselves, how do I get started?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Darlene. Darlene, my dear, let's see. Let me go back. Hold on. Okay, Darlene, let me ask you. So, you know, what are some pointers that you could share with somebody on how you got started on your healing journey, you know, at the beginning? And, you know, what would you like to share with us?
Well, before I started on my healing journey, I was, you got to put in mind that I was being abused by my husband at the same time whenever I was having nightmares, flashbacks and stuff, so it made it seem like it made the nightmares and everything worse. But then I developed agoraphobia, fear, afraid to go anywhere, and I was a wreck. And I knew I needed help, you know, because of the flashbacks. I couldn't sleep or nothing. I was starting to be so many flashbacks that I didn't realize really happening, but then I found out that it did happen, and I had the validation behind it. And my main thing is I helped. Part of my recovery is staying away from the toxic people in my life. I had to get rid of them.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. You're absolutely right, because a lot of times, you know, that's a personal decision everybody's got to make. It's not a wrong decision either way, but a lot of times we, you know, our abusers, you know, stay in our lives, especially when the abuse happens in the family, like mine, and from what I'm picking up from Lori's and from you, you know, we've got to make that decision sometimes, you know, do we cut ties? You know, I didn't speak to my mother or go see my mother for almost 5 years at one point. Now, my mother's getting up there in age, and, you know, my mother is not one of my abusers, and her mother, my grandmother, was. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I went to visit my mother, there was my stepfather. It took me years to be able to get past that, but I did, you know, make the decision, you know, to cut them out in 5 years. Some people don't make that decision, and it's okay if you don't. But sometimes you've got to realize that, you know, if you choose not to cut them out of your life, then sometimes you've got to you got to either expect the worst, or better yet, put up boundaries. You know, like when I'd go home, when I finally started going home, and I'd go home to my mother's house, you know, it didn't take 20 minutes, you know, and I lived away, you know, and I didn't go home that often. And so I'd walk in the door, and I knew within 20 minutes, me and my stepdad would get into an argument. It was coming. And I would have to leave because, you know, he crossed over my boundaries. And I put him up. He respects my boundaries now. So, you know, I can go there and I can visit and I can put all that behind me. But he respects my boundaries. And he respects another family member's boundaries as well. But that didn't come easy. you know, and I did get to the point to where if my boundaries were compromised, I'd get myself out of there. So, and I'll just say this, and I want to go to the panel because we do have another caller who has called in, and I want to go to Bill as well. A lot of my abuse when I started dealing at the peak point when I started dealing with it was in a domestic, not only did I, suffer from child abuse, I also suffered from domestic abuse as well. And I had to come, I remember an article I was reading one time and I had to come to terms and I looked at it and thought, excuse me, that's my life, and that was the pivot point on my healing journey. So I can definitely relate to that, Darlene.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we've got Miss Fire Brown who has called in from Georgia, which I haven't spoken to Miss Fire Brown in a while. She is one of my Facebook friends, and she's calling in from Georgia. So I'm going to go ahead and open her mic and welcome her. Good evening, Fire Brown. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for welcoming me in. I was just calling in I saw the post on Facebook, and I wanted to participate in join my community, and so I did it. It has been quite a while since I've been a part of a conversation live with the group, but I was just in a let me join my community, let me be a part of my tribe conversation, mm-hmm. And so yeah, I called in, and thank you so much for welcoming me. I appreciate that.
Well, welcome to the show. I really appreciate that. And I have to tell you, you look amazing. You were amazing before.
I've been telling people, I've been doing the Adult Survivor of Child Abuse meetings for 12 years this coming February. And I'm the founder of the group. We didn't have a meeting in the state of Georgia for self-help support group for adult survivors of child abuse. I was in the midst and throes of my own healing and wanted to go to a meeting and inevitably had to start one to have one. So now it would be 12 years come February. But when I started the group, I weighed 442 pounds. And people ask me, did you have surgery? What did you do? I want to get on your diet. What's this plan? I said, here's what's up. This is after the TED Talk, because I had to see the TED Talk first. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm huge when I saw the TED Talk. Is that it never really was about what I was eating. It was more about what was eating me. And it was all about fire, heal yourself, and it happened like exponentially and like a domino effect throughout my entire family with my partner and our two children. We all took it on. It wasn't about just what we ate. Yeah, we cooked better and everything, but it was a lot about suffering and pain and eating away the pain, medicating the pain, and things of that nature. So it really was about what was eating me. So I'm 288 pounds down, and it took about 4.5 years. And so it's even as a founder of ASCA, I'm still always in the journey, in the challenge, in the process of consistently healing. I heard a participant say earlier about how long it's been with their mother, and I recognize that, oh, my goodness, since last November, since last Thanksgiving, I have not spoken to my mother since November, and I look identical to my mother, and it's been – she's not my abuser. Where I have my issues with is her denial of that hurt, the man that she married abused me. And so mm-hmm. she has my siblings on her side, too. And I got sick and tired of going home for Thanksgiving and having my sexual abusers sitting around my mother's Thanksgiving table. And I decided that I wouldn't go back there again. So it's been that since last Thanksgiving I have not talked to my mother. And I love her dearly, and she's an amazing person. But with all of her education and ministry work, and she's a missionary, and she's so caring, she's a school teacher, it doesn't work for me that you're denying that it didn't happen when I have concrete evidence that it did. So, yeah, I'm all about healing. I dedicate my life to this. This is my compassion. And like Oprah said, just take a look at Fire Brown Gasser, who can look into the eyes. you know, and she said that quote over and over again. But the point is that I will, you will have to continue to wheel me in a wheelchair into an AFCA meeting, because I won't give up that each and every individual who's ever been abused as a child find healing and find their lives again. And we got the Boy Scouts and the Catholic churches, and everybody's coming back, and there's a whole new conversation. There's more Me Toos than the original Hollywood Me Toos that's happening. And I am an absolute stand, totally committed to, that any and every adult survivor of child abuse find their path and they get healed. I even work with children now, because I don't want them to have to wait till they're 16, 17, 18, 34, 58, 68 years old to get their healing. Yeah.
Right.
So thank you so much. I appreciate you guys unmuting me and letting me in the conversation, because I was just actually calling to listen in and see what was happening. Thank you all.
Well, I'm glad you called in, and you do look amazing. And I'm hoping you will participate. It is an open mic show, and you've got a lot to offer to the people on the panel here and also the people who stream in. So thank you for your participation. Like I said, you look absolutely amazing. I did see your TED Talk. It was an amazing, inspirational.
That was huge.
I didn't look at that. I listened to your story. You know, we love you no matter what you look like. We love you at 400 something pounds. We love you at what you are now.
I love myself all the time. I love myself at times and in and out of times. But at the time, I had no idea. Like, I looked in the mirror and I didn't see that. So I wasn't until I saw it in a video that I acknowledged it. And I am that you can't work on anything you don't acknowledge. So I acknowledge it, and I started out on a path of healing, not just emotional and psychologically, but physically, spiritually, everything else in my life. Like, I wanted a holistic, universal healing. And so I took my body on, because it was all really about the bigger I am, you know, the more padded I was, then I was protecting myself. Then I don't have to walk by a construction site or in a supermarket and somebody's catcalling, whistling about how cute my ass is, and, oh, my God, you look so cute. So I set about padding and putting on that weight and comforting myself with sleeves of Oreos and things like that, because in my mind it was, which we all do and it's healthy, is we find survival mechanisms, and that was my survival mechanism. So
got it. Well, yeah. Let me ask you this: if and we know we have them. If there's somebody out there who may be streaming in at the very, very peak of their healing process, what advice would you give in order to find a support system?
My the first thing I always say is trust your memory. Even if you are not an island, you belong to this tribe. Bill Murray, the group, everybody, there's groups around. You belong to a tribe. You are never alone. Trust your memory. And I say you become authentic and transparent. Be willing to say, I'm not the problem. I was the victim. I was a child. I was a child and I was a victim. I didn't cause it. I didn't manipulate it. It didn't matter what I was wearing. It didn't matter what I did. I was the victim. Now I'm a survivor. And I'm going to trust my memory, and I'm going to take a stand for, I know I can heal. I can shed away, peel away shame, guilt, and blame. And look for a healthy lifestyle. Look for a healthy life and put people in your life that have been through the experience or who are empathetic, sympathetic, and compassionate, who hear you and believe you, because that's what you need. And anything that's opposed to that, put it aside. Box it up, put it on the shelf until you're ready to deal with it. And memories and memories and memories will keep evolving. But trust your memories and take a stand for yourself. Create a possibility that says, I am healed. Whether you are now or not, say, I am healed. And then you step into that every day.
Right.
Wink at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm ready.
There you go. Well,
Tammy,
thank you for that advice. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Bill.
I've heard from Felicia, Tammy, that she is apologetic, but she has to take care of her father tonight, who's preparing for surgery tomorrow, I think she said. And so I don't expect her to pop in. She might pop in, but she's not going to, you know, be able to be here this evening. So I did hear from her. Let me say that from my perspective, the topic, Fire Brown, that resonated with me from what Fire Brown said was, you don't heal unless you're ready. I think that's how she put it. Unless you acknowledge the problem and get ready for it and are ready for it, you're going to stay the same or get worse. Frankly, this relates to an awful lot of my journey, and to sure many NASCA members who, you know, with whom reverberates the message that you're as sick as your secrets, you know, and you can hold secrets from yourself as well as from others. So it's a matter of kind of uncovering what's really going on. As Fire Brown said, she didn't realize that she was that heavy or the reason she was so heavy until she had a different perspective. And for her, it was seeing herself on video. But we have to have, sometimes we have to have our loving friends, frankly, tell us, you know, there's an issue that I've noticed that I want to be helpful about, and I don't want, I wonder if you would be willing to hear a little healthy, constructive criticism. Sometimes it takes that, which is kind of the role of a counselor, you know, as well. So, but unless we acknowledge, unless we uncover what it is that's our block to being the person we can be, and unless we discover what's behind that, and unless we are ready to discard the benefits of that discovery, as Fire Brown said, one of the benefits was she didn't have to get whistled at. You know, but hey, as she gets lighter, she's going to get whistled at once or twice. She's willing to risk it, you know. You know, she's right. The act of overeating is often an attempt to put a kind of a barrier around ourselves that it's a matter of we think we need to be protected. This is true of all the different kinds of obsessions and bad habits that we have and addictions that we, you know, are protecting ourselves. We think we're protecting ourselves, and we have to be willing to risk giving up that thing that we're using for protection in order to find the right kinds of things that we use. Like, for example, not going home at Thanksgiving. That's an issue most of us can also identify with. So the boundary setting and so forth. So I think this is an excellent topic, Fire Brown, and Tammy, I'd suggest we go forward with it. And by the way, this is an open mic meeting, is what we call an open mic meeting, which means we don't open and close. Well, it's up to Tammy, but we don't open and close mics on an open mic meeting. Once we get the person on the show, we leave the mics open, and it's a discussion. And so the reason they're all open is anybody who wants to can make the next comment, as long as any one person doesn't dominate, that's fine. And, of course, because the mics are open, if you have a lot of background noise, it's helpful if you mute yourself on your side. But know that just to make a comment is as simple as...
Are you there, Bill?
Bill, I just thought of what I was listening to what you were just saying, and I'm a crybaby, so a tear came to my eye. You're right. You know, now that I'm smaller, I am getting more attention, but I'm more empowered now than I was in 2006. So here I am 14 years later, you know. So I actually like that I wear nice clothes and I look great and people say you look beautiful. I used to cringe at something like that. But it's that kind of strength that comes from the years of healing that when I hear it from a different perspective. I don't hear it from, hey, little girl, I want to, you know, molest you. you know, you're this nasty little buzzard, and I want to get with you. What I hear now is, wow, I'm powerful, I'm free, I'm self-expressed, and I shine. And so when someone says, wow, you're so beautiful, you have a beautiful smile, I take it. I take a moment and take a breath and say, accepted, because it actually is something that I can accept. There's this French poet, Anaïs Nin. She has this quote that I send out. Because of the pandemic, I've been writing letters. I went back to my 1970s pen pal lifestyle. And I've been writing letters and sending out cards, well wishes, and well care checks. But one of the things I've done to encourage and empower survivors, adult survivors of child abuse, is to always include this quote. And it's a quote that's very short. It says, "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom."
That's right.
The pain it took for you to stay in this bud, because you're, is more painful than the risk it takes to actually blossom. So that has been a quote that I've held on to for more than 10, 12 years, is that I know that staying in a bud tight, tight, every petal held tight, whether it was my weight, whether it was my drinking, and I was on the couch for 4 years drunk, not bathing, whether it was not taking care of my children, but the tightness of that bud became so painful to keep it that way, because it's intended in life for me to blossom.
Right.
So I gave up the pain of holding on tight in the bud and took the risk to blossom. And that quote alone is just something that I say so often to survivors when I see they're saying, well, my mom, this, my dad, this, this has happened to me, this has happened to me, I'm drinking, I'm on drugs, I'm prostituting, I'm stripping, I'm, you know, I'm mad at my husband, I'm mad at my children, I'm fighting and I'm screaming. And well, guess what? You're holding yourself in this tight, tight, tight bud, not letting anybody in, afraid for someone to find out that you are or were victimized as a child. Like you're holding this tight, 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 tight bud. Well, the pain becomes so overwhelming that it would be simpler just to let the pain go, and the risk to blossom isn't more empowering.
Well, let me say this. I think if you can identify the pain that you're going through, specifically identify its cause, and then be willing to give it up, because there are benefits to being a tight bud, like I said. So that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, protection. It's survival. It's a survival mode. It's protection. And I was in that bud for many, many years. But like we just talked about, not until we acknowledge it. And the brain and the support that you get in your life, like programs like this, support groups, therapy, wherever you are, that kind of, you're ready. Your mind says, you're ready. Take it on. It's peeling back layers. Whether it's an onion or a rosebud, it's a peeling back layers. But it's not until you're ready.
Let me say that what you need to do is you need to become willing to give up the benefit of the pain.
Oh, well said.
That's it.
Right. Because we get something out of that, and we have to say, I can't keep doing this. I want more. And when you say I want more, take the first step. And even if you go 3 steps backwards, take the next step.
Uh-huh.
Take the next step. It's never easy. I'm 14 and a half years in, and there are days that I can walk past and see some 2020 or some Dateline show or something on the news that triggers me. But I have a toolkit, and I say, use something in your box. You got a box full of tools. You know how to get through that 15 minutes of news or that 30 minutes of something you saw that your kids were watching while you were cooking and it triggered you. Then I say, go take care of yourself. Don't self-sabotage. don't tighten up the bud. Care for yourself, because the whole idea is to pack that toolbox with survival tools, survival mechanisms that are healthy.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, let me stop you right there, because that's a lot of information. We did lose Darlene. Darlene, if you're listening, please call back. We'd love to have you join us. So hopefully you'll call back. And if anyone else wants to participate, the telephone number is 646-595-2118. I want to give our friend Lori in Canada an opportunity to comment on what Fire Brown has shared. Lori, what are your thoughts?
Oh, it's great. I'm really soaking it in. I know I've been on my healing journey since like 2009, really. I started 2007, but I didn't do any work until 2009. But as I started working through and doing this, you know, what it was going to take to actually make progress in my healing journey, I love what Fire Brown said. You know, you've got a toolbox, right? You start to develop this toolbox, and then you know what you can use to help you get through stuff. And that, I just relate to that so much. And I know for myself, like, I didn't think of it so much as a toolbox, but I started to sort of recognize that there were things that I could do. You know what I mean? If I was having a day that I was down or whatever, a hard day, flashbacks or whatever, there were things that I could use to help me get through that. But that's right. That's like a toolbox. I love that. And it's just so important. I think another thing that I wanted to mention is that even for me today, even though I consider myself to be quite well, you know, along in my healing journey, I'm really doing on my level of where I would think I'm at. I think I'm doing really well. And I still have hard days like everybody else. Something will drag me down or whatever, or something, I'll get some news that I'm not happy about or whatever in my life, and it throws me back down a little bit. And I have to remember that, well, if I'm not going to do the work, then it's not going to change. You know what I mean? Because, as a survivor of abuse, I always revert back to those behaviors that I was using to cope with before that don't work. You know what I mean? They worked at the time when I was being abused, but they don't work now as an adult, you know? And so even today, I had to go back and pull some of that strength up that I had gained from doing all this work on this healing journey and say, no, just got to do it. You know what I mean? And it all, just today for my example, came down to physical health, because I'm my physical health is going downhill because I'm not doing anything because of this COVID-19 thing. And I'm kind of lazy. I prefer to sit and think. I'm a thinker, not a doer. So a researcher, I'm more like a researcher. You know, I'm into thinking and looking and that sort of thing. So my physical body is just like left to whatever. And I'm like, just row. I've got a rower that's been sitting in front of me for like 3 years, and I keep looking. It's right in front of me in my living room, and I look at it every day for 3 years, and I will not get on it. I've got notes all over the place, like people put notes on their refrigerators and whatnot. I've got notes on my computer saying row, 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 15 minutes every day. I've got a little smiley face on it and everything, trying to get myself to row, even 15 minutes, because I can feel my body's just going downhill. And I just had cancer and got over that, and you know, I've got high blood pressure, so I'm trying to be careful. But the thing is today I just used some of those, like Fire Brown was saying, some of those tools in my toolbox that I remembered that I had from back when I was beginning my healing journey and starting to feel empowered. And I thought, just get on it. You know what I mean? Just do it. So I went over and I wrote. And I'm like, these things are difficult. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure I've got a bit of depression. You know what I mean? It's probably due to a lot of things in my life going on right now. And also still some unhealed wounding from being abused as a child. You know what I mean? I spend a lot of time by myself. And especially with COVID-19 thing, now I'm really isolated. So that's why it's so important for survivors to remember. Nothing will change unless you take that step. you know, if there's a survivor who's listening to the show, you're just starting your healing journey, nothing's going to change until you do something about it. It's all going to stay the same. Like, I like that one quote that says, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and wondering why it doesn't work, it's because you need to change something.
Right.
So I'm trying
Absolutely.
To remember that. Yeah. And even in my healing journey, I can't just stay stagnant. I need to keep working. So even for myself, 2000, mm-hmm. so we'll say 2009, 11 years in on my healing journey, I still have to keep at it. So it's not
Absolutely.
Something I can
we
just say, I'm all better, it's fine, and just blow it off. If there's survivors listening, to this and you're just starting your healing journey, you have to make that first step and make those phone calls, contact those groups to get into the group support, contact counselors, get going on getting some help. Don't wait, don't put it off, because they just keep putting it off, right? So that's what I have to add to that. Yeah.
Cool beans. Well, that's been a great discussion, so I really appreciate that feedback. I do have another caller who has come in, so I want to catch them so I don't lose them. But before I do, I want to make a couple of comments for myself. I can take some advice on that, because my Achilles heel is the cigarettes. I quit smoking for 35 years, picked them up a couple of years ago. And I keep trying to quit. I get on the wagon. I get off the wagon. And I guess I got to pull out that toolbox, and I just got to get it done. So, a lot of times when I
hard.
Get nervous, I get upset, I'll go smoke a cigarette. And I'm someone who quit for 35 years, so I have no excuse.
It's hard. I know.
I guess it's my cushion. It's my pad that I've put up that I've
That's
got
what
to
I
get past.
Too. Yeah. I've had serious problems with the nicotine addiction to cigarettes. I quit this summer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm vaping instead, so I really haven't quit. You know what I'm saying? It's just a different form.
Right.
So I'm trying to
and
get rid of that too.
Sure. I've got to do something, because I cough and hack. So that's my Achilles heel, and that's my go-to when I'm all nervous or upset. And I've got a very stressful job, so I struggle with that. So, but the other
it's
thing
hard.
I'd like to say, I'd like to go back to the conversation with Fire Brown and Bill were talking. I guess what was going through my mind is I see what Fire Brown was saying. If you're not ready to deal with it, put it on the shelf. But at the same time, I get what Bill is saying, that if you leave it on the shelf too long, if you leave it on the shelf, it's never going to get better, because all of us have discussed that in different ways. But I guess when Fire Brown said that, what was going through my mind was we've got to open up the box. We've got to deal with it, and you got to start somewhere. And that's how we started this show off. If somebody is at the beginning of their healing path, how do you get started? How do you get motivated? A lot of times when we get on that path, all this stuff comes back to us all at once, and then we feel overwhelmed, we deal with it. We call it triggers a lot of times. And if I'm out in left field, please tell me. But, from my perspective, if in fact you get on that healing journey and all this stuff starts flowing back, sometimes you've got to kind of put, you got 100 things to deal with, and you start feeling overwhelmed. So how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Okay.
Or, Far Brown has lost a lot of weight. How do you lose that weight? One pound at a time. If you look at, 448 pounds, it's overwhelming to lose it.
We also tell people that you don't try to fix your whole life in an afternoon. That's not how this is done. It's done in little pieces. So it's absolutely appropriate to put things on the shelf that you're not ready to deal with for now, but
for now,
what are you willing to deal with is the more important question, and do deal with that. And they may be smaller things, quote, with quotes around smaller, but I'll tell you what, there's no such thing as insignificant growth. So if you do one small thing that helps you move a little bit forward, you're a success today. I'm going to open Roberta's microphone because she needs to hear this. Well, she can hear it, but I want to make sure
she knows.
Yeah,
let's go ahead and open Roberta's microphone, and let's get some conversation from her, and then I want to go back to Fire Brown and give her a chance to respond.
Well, because
so, good
she's
evening,
early
Roberta.
In her, because Roberta Scovian, I wanted to explain, because she's relatively early in her recovery, she can comment on this, sort of the freshness of this for her, this concept. Roberta, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for, I'm glad I'm here. Thank you. Glad y'all are here.
Yeah, we've got a lively panel tonight. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that even though I'm early in my recovery, I mean, it's like for years and years, you know, I kept going, you know, I mean, it's just so many things different at different times. Things would come up in different times, and used to, I would react or I would just like run away from it and just ignore it or numb it. You know, I mean, I used to drink too, and now, you know, I'm ready to deal with it, and I'm ready to not be afraid, you know, of facing whatever it is, you know, because, I mean, there's some really deep, 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 dark things, you know, and mental memory blocks. And I guess, you know, I'm realizing is that I can't just deal with it all at one time, you know. I can't deal with it all at once. You know, and so I'm glad that I'm starting therapy in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm getting a new therapist because I just moved back to my home state and where a lot of the problems originated. And I'm really glad that I'm going into this new therapy without fear, because I mean I lived in fear for years, and now, you know, I'm just really looking forward to it. I know I'm going to get a lot of relief, and I'm going to get a lot of good guidance. You know, I'm looking forward to it, you know. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I guess I don't know what to expect other than just that I'll be able to talk about some things that I've never been able to talk about for years.
Right. Well, you're further along than you think you are, because, you know, you have reached out to NASCA. You've been, you know, you've been dealing with, you know, you've been calling in on the show for a number of months now. And just getting started is the hardest hurdle, you know, facing it and getting started. And now I know that you had told us before that you were going back to your home state, which was a lot of, you're basically facing those monsters. I pray for you, and I wish you very well on that. And anything we can do to support you, you know, please reach out to us, and you know we're here for you. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thanks for allowing me to.
Oh no, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. We're a part of each other's healing journey, and that in itself is amazing. You know, just to listen to Lori give her story and some of the struggles she's had. You know, a lot of us can relate to it, and to listen to Fire Brown and the triumphs that she's made, and you know, she's been on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she's done her own, you know, she's done a TEDx, you know, to think about where Fire Brown started is amazing. So Roberta, to think to where, you know, when, you know, you were dealing with those monsters in the dark alone, and now you're plugged into NASCA, and you're a part of us, and you're facing those monsters going home, that's pretty amazing. We're an amazing bunch of people. So, you know, I'm excited. Before I go back
first,
to Fire Brown, which I...
Well, I just wanted to say at first
sure,
I didn't want to, you know. At first, I really didn't want to, you know. And then I decided I didn't want to live in fear, and I wanted to have the courage to heal, you know. And that took 50-some years. And so now, you know, that's what happened, you know, because at first I did not want to face them monsters. I did not want to. And now, you know, I'm ready to.
You're ready to. And it's, you know, you've got a support system. So if you get there and you're dealing with those monsters and you can't handle it, you call one of us or you chime in on the show. We do have another caller who has called in, William from Alabama. And I believe, if I'm saying correctly, good evening, William. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Doing okay.
Excuse me. thank you for joining us. And I know we had Darlene on here earlier, and I know you're a friend of Darlene's, and you're from the police. You know, your background's police, the police force, correct?
Yeah, police and like court and things like that.
Right, and you're not a survivor. You're what we call a normie, but you've dealt with it in your career. Do I remember that correctly?
Well, I'm a survivor in a way, but I'm a survivor of other things that are related to that.
I understand. Well, thank you for joining us. And please, like Bill said earlier, all the mics are open. We have Lori from Canada, Bill from Florida. We got Fire Brown from Georgia. We got Roberta calling in from Oklahoma. And we've got William from Alabama. And I'm Tammy. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida. So we're all here. All the mics are open. You guys, like, as long as we don't talk over each other and, you know, give everybody an opportunity, if you hear something, feel free to chime in. But before I say that, and then I'm going to go back to Fire Brown, because I want to give Fire Brown an opportunity to respond on some of the things that was said in reference to what she was talking about earlier. Fire Brown?
I'm here. I'm just muted. I'm listening, and I am in praise and awe of NASCA, because here we are, virtually are globally in conversation about this. And like I said, I used the word tribe. You know, we create our tribe. And whether it's Canada or Alabama or wherever we are, everybody who says, share, breakthrough, conquer fear, and fear will be there. It's just put courage in place of it, because courage is just being able to do what you have to do in the face of your fear. But here we are, Bill, Tammy, we're globally addressing issues that are not in politics and religion and things like that. This is actually in our spirit and our soul, of just wanting to have freedom and peace and the right to choose. And we're doing it on a global level, and we're becoming a tribe. Every time someone calls in, have a conversation, we're saying, I belong with you. I belong with you. And that's what we need. So, yeah, I'm here. I just muted my phone to listen and to hear. Major breakthroughs. I'm hearing some great breakthroughs. Transformations. Stands for commitments. And that's what we need as a tribe.
Yeah. You know, I like your comment about fear. Fear doesn't disappear. That's not what you're after. You're not waiting until fear disappears so that then you can take an action. The fear will be there, but you will... Perhaps because you've listened to enough other people who have survived their fears, you'll decide while the fear is there and in spite of the fear, you're going to take an action courageously. In other words, courage happens by walking through a fear, not by waiting till the fear is gone and then taking the action. That's the key here. That's what Roberta's doing when she talks about she doesn't know what's going to happen, but she's showing up. You know, and that's half the battle, frankly, Fire Brown, isn't it? It's half the battle. You know, suiting up and showing up and being willing to show up over and over. Our daytime recovery meeting now has people from all over the globe. We have Israelis and, you know, UK people and people from South Africa and all over our country and Canada. These people, all you have to be is awake at the same time. You know, that's pretty much it. And it's very successful. And Darlene, by the way, is taking on the role of one of the leaders of that meeting on Thursdays. So I was hoping that I could thank her while she was still here. William, you may or may not know this, but she's, you know, she took a new commitment to NASCA. And so she's going to do one of the roles in place of Linda Beattie, who has gotten so busy she can't handle it now. So that's great. And William is a survivor, by the way, Tammy. He's just not a sexual abuse survivor. He's a survivor of child abuse.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean. I was just going by memory, but I knew he was in the law enforcement and he dealt with a lot in his career. So, not to take away from anything that you know that you've gone through, William. So, okay. Well, we've got. Let's see. It's 9:05, so we've got about 25 minutes left. We've got Lori, Bill, Firebrow, Roberta, William, and Tammy. And Darlene, if you're listening, please call back in. But does anybody have any comments at this point? I'm just going to open it up to see if anybody's got any comments they'd like to make on what has been discussed so far. All mics are open. Anyone?
Well, I think she's doing the right things, that she's getting back out there and getting stronger, and seems like she's talking more about the stuff, and that's all part of the healing process of starting to stand up on your own. And you still have the support system with NASCA and all that, which is really good, which many people didn't have that before. But that they're doing a lot of help and moving forward. And they're right about it being a global issue. It isn't just like in here in the States and that. This stuff goes on all around the world. That's just some of the things I wanted to let you know and say, because you're doing a good job of going through the processes of healing and stuff, and that's some of it.
Exactly. Well, let me go to Miss Lori. Miss Lori, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I think it's great, and I wanted to just commend Roberta, because you know it's tough when you have to start facing those things. And it's not easy. And I just, you know, for myself, I know when I first started my healing journey, I would only face what I knew I could face at the time. So I wouldn't try to do it all at once, you know what I mean? Just take it at your pace that you're comfortable with. And, you know, make sure you have support around you. Phone numbers of people that you can call day or night, you know. Have a support system where if you're having difficulties and you just, you know, seem to be having a hard time, you'll have somebody, like you can call us, you know what I mean? Just give us a call. The NASCA members that have their phone numbers there, and reach out, just keep reaching out, because it is tough. And being on this side of it, now that I'm 11 years into my healing journey, it's like, I can say it's a so much better place to be, you know? I'm so glad that I did the work. It was hard, but I needed to get through this stuff, and I'm in such a better place than I've ever been in my entire lifetime. So I would say just keep at it and go at your pace, you know, and have a support network around you, which NASCA is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, make sure you reach out. You know, if you're having a hard time and, you know, you can't cope, make sure you have phone numbers of people you can call handy and make those phone calls. Because
well,
there's
thank
people
you.
Like me. Yeah. I mean, we know how hard it is, right? So it's like you wouldn't be bothering people to do that. Yeah.
I think what was really hard at first was whenever I started opening up and everything with my therapist in Texas, and then I started kind of confronting some of the people in my family that were some of the people that hurt me real bad, and they said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy." You know, that was a comment. And then I remember years ago one of them said, "It's your word against mine, not a damn thing you can do about it, no witnesses and all that," and, you know, things like that, you know, and that goes over and over and over in my head, you know. And
that's
I'm there too.
A lot of us are.
Yeah, so I just try to ignore it and just, you know, I just don't think about that now because I'm not around them now. And now I live in my own apartment and I live by myself and I'm going to therapy and then this is my journey. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they think, you know, because if I'm being honest and I'm telling the truth and I know I'm being honest and I'm telling the truth, it don't matter how much they lie or how much they want to, you know, be fakes or frauds about things, you know.
I got to pull the covers off of Roberta just a little bit here. When she was starting a few months back, I think she was recommended by some other group that gave out our number. In any case, I heard a lot of yeah buts, which is common. Yeah buts. In other words, there were reasons that something couldn't be done. One of the things I found out after talking to her all about the website and how wonderful it was and all the tools she'd find there and one of the things I found out is she didn't have a computer. So I was talking and talking and talking. So how was she going to get the phone numbers? Well, she did it.
Okay.
She went down to the library and printed off the contact list. I mean, she's gone out of her way to make sure that she got engaged. And, of course, she learned about the radio show, and she's been on the show, as Tammy noted, numerous times now. But it doesn't come – it's not easy. But this is the point. It's not necessarily easy. And while we'll hold your hand, you're still going to have to do it. You're going to have to do the work. And Roberta's proof positive that within a few months now, she's really exceeded expectations. She's doing great. And I have every faith that she's going to continue to move forward in her recovery in the new place.
Oh, yeah, I'm determined now. Yeah, I'm determined. You know, I mean, I still have a little bit of unforgiveness and anger, but I don't thrive on it now, and I used to live on anger. You know, I had anger energy, and I don't have that kind of energy no more. Love and forgiveness. You know, I got love in me, and if all these people want to be unloving and unkind, that's between them and whoever, but you know, I know I'm doing my thing, and I'm doing the right thing, and I know I'm doing right by. There's nothing wrong with wanting to heal, you know.
That's right.
Nope.
Got that right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Well, you know, something has come to my mind that I'd like to throw into the group because we've got about 18 minutes left. Is, you know, what are some of the things that you guys have done, advice, you know, maybe some pointers we could give someone who may be listening, that when we do start, when all that comes through, and to keep us from being overwhelmed and putting things on the shelf if we need to, not the whole the abuse thing, but just elements so we don't get ourselves overwhelmed. What are some of the things that you guys have done, you know, to keep, like for me, you know, when I get overwhelmed, I'll get in the fetal position and I'll cry. And I used to cry for a lot longer. Now I'll pull myself up by the bootstrings and get myself out of it. You know, I'll crawl up in a fetal position and I'll cry. But it's for a short time where it used to be a long time and I'd come home. So one of the things that I have done is I will allow myself that time to cry and curl up in a fetal position, but I limit my time. Some of the things that I do, you know, is I'll get busy. But what are if somebody was listening, that, you know, all of that at the beginning of their healing path and all of that's flowing back, and with Roberta, who said that, you know, she can't take it on at all one time, what are some things that you guys have done that might be helpful to somebody else? That's my question. And all the mics are open. Anybody?
Well, I've done several things. This is Lori. I've worked on many different things to when things became too much during my healing journey, when I was facing certain things that were just too difficult, dealing with flashbacks and things like that. And I would do a lot of, like, I looked on the internet because I've got the computer, thankfully. It was quite easy to find. I actually found a bunch of information out there about self-soothing and also positive talk. So I would do a lot of, and you know, people think that's just silly doing, you know, sitting around saying, I deserve to be happy. You know, I deserve to heal. I am not a bad person. Just that sort of thing. Positive talk, you know, to ourselves. I would do a lot of that. And I would do, grounding mechanisms. There's a lot of different grounding mechanisms that a person can do if you're feeling overwhelmed. You know, you can pick, for instance, take a color, any color, green or blue or whatever, and let's say we'll take the color blue and just look around the room and count all the things that are blue in the room to get grounded again. You know, feel your body and where you're at. Feel your feet on the floor. You know, your feet are touching the floor. If you're feeling overwhelmed, sometimes it's good just to center yourself and feel where you're at. you're sitting in your chair, your feet are on the floor, get back into yourself instead of the actual flashback or memory that's bothering you. There's a lot of great coping mechanisms that are out there all over the place that I found. One came from a website up here in Canada. It's called the Child Abuse Survivor Monument website. And the gentleman that has that website, he is a sculptor and he's also a survivor of abuse. And he's got a lot of self-soothing, comforting type stuff on his website. Quilt square comforting stuff, meditation. I used to do some meditation type stuff, things like that. We're very helpful in the beginning,
right,
especially when I first started out. You know.
Right. Well, those are some really good pointers, and thank you for mentioning that resource as well. One of the things that, and I want to open it back to the panel, but I want to make this comment. One of the things that we have noticed is a lot of survivors become artistically inclined. They play, they sing, they play music, they paint, they garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because and that's been a lot of that to me, I have noticed that's a common thread as well.
Mm-hmm.
That people, you know, that they get into their happy spot.
You know,
they, when it's all said and done, we have one girl who called in. I can't remember her name, but she said that when she was going through it, she would, you know, when she was actually going through the abuse, she would go to her happy, you know, after it was done, she would go to her happy spot. You know, and whether it's gardening or, you know, focusing in on a flower. So whether it's, you know, during the abuse or you know, while somebody's going through that period or, you know, if they're on their healing process, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things that people can do, you know, artistically as well to get them through it. Anybody else?
Well, I like what Lori talks about. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I liked what Lori mentioned about finding expressions that you could tell yourself. And I'll tell you what, for me, my brain was so scrambled that early on, I couldn't remember all that stuff. So what I did was I wrote it down on Post-it notes, and they were all over my apartment. You know, they
mm-hmm.
were on the mirror in the bathroom, and they were on the refrigerator, and they were, you know, they were all over
yep.
my bathroom. And
yep.
and these were just little expressions that had occurred to me were kind of thoughts that were in an alternate direction than I usually thought, and I needed to remember them. Well, the technique I used was actually writing them down and sticking them up.
Yeah.
That's so simple. It sounds so simple, but it's profound because
mm-hmm.
you can – you know, you can cover your life, you know, from the time you walk into your place, you know, until the time you leave with little thoughts that are positive or that bring you joy. You know, with the thought about coming home is, welcome to your space, nothing can harm you here, you know, and the thought that's leaving is, don't forget to be grateful, you know, as you go out into the world. Stuff like that, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very easy to do tool that anybody can try out.
Yeah. Yeah, positive affirmations, that's what it's called. Positive
right.
affirmations. Very, very, I think it's
right.
important. Yeah, absolutely.
I've had I do about 3 to 4 calls from my group of we have about 600 members in our group, and about 383 I've met. And I've, in this past week, and in fact, when I get off this call, I do have a call later tonight with a survivor because he works the mid-shift and he doesn't get off work until 10 o'clock at night. But I've had, hey, make some Post-it notes. You know, put them up on your door, wink at yourself in the mirror before you walk out the door, things of that nature. And those are great, extraordinary things because one of the things you got going on is that you have an 8-track tape playing in your mind from childhood, and sometimes you need to interrupt that
mm-hmm.
conversation and see a post-it note that says, you are extraordinary just as you are.
That's
so,
right.
and we do a lot of work around that. I'm an artist. I paint. In fact, I went to Asheville last weekend with my partner of 24 years to celebrate our anniversary, and she made a vase, and I made the platter that the vase would sit on for our dining room table. And that's something that I do, but I'm also a painter, and 88% of the paintings in my house are for me and my kids that I've done Mommy and Me things with. And I'm a writer and things of that nature. But I've been challenging people to do things in the face of fear in terms of courage. You're afraid of heights? Okay. Well, do a tandem drop from a plane and do it scared as you are. Do it afraid, you know. And with all of the things, these are all things that I pack into that toolbox. Mm-hmm. Affirmations. You know, challenging yourself, going outside, you know, going for a job that you wouldn't, I'm sorry, going for a job that you normally wouldn't go to, speak up, send a letter, write a letter, burn a letter in the fireplace, mm-hmm. whatever you have to do. But one of the things that I have been finding has been a thread for, I don't know, at least the last 10 years, is making sense of who you were as a child, who you are as an adult, and understanding what forgiveness really is. You don't forgive because you're saying it's okay that that happened to you. You forgive to free up room and space inside of your vessel for contribution and compassion and empathy and sympathy and who you can be to your children, your spouse, your grandchildren, your coworkers, and everyone else. I have learned that forgiveness really has a lot to do with getting who your abuser is. Because I said in the talk that I gave is that 68% of the people who are abused by people who were abused.
Mm-hmm.
No excuse. It doesn't make it okay. But getting that, my father was abused, three generations of abuse, and then he abused me, and that my cousins abused other cousins, and their fathers abused them, and then I got abused. It was just a matter of me, in a technical way, making sense of what I know about abuse. And
okay.
for my... It, me able to say, I forgive. I forgive
right.
because that person is flawed and human. I haven't gone on to abuse anyone. My kids barely get a timeout. They little rotten asses. They barely get a timeout. Let alone my give them a pop on the butt. They little rotten asses. Right? They 21 and 19. They little rotten butts.
Right.
I don't abuse. But we know
right.
that
well,
historically,
say,
people abuse because
mm-hmm.
they've been abused. People abuse because they're flawed. People abuse because they're angry, they're psychopathic, sociopathic, whatever it is. Here I say,
right.
yes, artist therapy, write, do a journal. And you don't come through after
mm-hmm.
Atlanta without
journal.
A journal. You better be journaling.
Right.
That's a mandatory thing for me. You come through after Atlanta, I need to see your journal. I need to see your art. I need to see your music. I need to see your yoga. Whatever you got going on, it's about empowerment. It's about taking a stand and creating a possibility for yourself. But I often always go to, in the face of anything else,
mm-hmm.
you're a victim. You are a child. You had no power.
Absolutely. Right.
You had no power.
Well, I can tell you
didn't
how,
have the language to how to explain it to someone what was happening to you. Now
right.
take that all back and then say, I get it. I'm not bad. I'm not wrong. I'm not flawed. I'm not diseased. I'm not disgusting. I'm not this. That was that person. And
right.
look how I can be empowered when I make sense of it. And then I find my expression. I find my joy. I find my compassion. And that's what catapults the journey. I love how almost everybody in this conversation has used the word journey. Because I'm a road trip. Me and my family, we road tripping. We road tripping in our SUV. And it never is about showing up at Auntie M's house. It really is about that six-hour drive there. We have the most fun on the journey there.
Good.
So it is about the power of the journey. It is about making a concept and making sense of, I did nothing wrong. That fool did what they did, and I get that they're human, and there's a lot of craziness, psycho this, abuse this, that happened to them.
Right. Well, I want to make a comment right there. I want to stop you right there so I can make a
comment.
Go ahead. And
I'm
going to say something that
I'm
you guys. No, I love it. I love it. I love what you have shared. Absolutely. It inspires a lot of thought. It gets us going. But I do want to comment, and this is my own personal perspective. Doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, this is my stance, and I have to stand firm to it. First of all, well, I'd like to say this first, that just because someone was abused doesn't mean that they're going to be an abuser. That all, that is a small percentage. And like you said, Firebrow, we all have choices. People on this panel have choices, and we've chosen to make different choices. But you're 100% right. Most of the people who abused were abusers. You know, people who do abuse were abusers, and that's the majority
of
them.
And I said that. I said, I don't think.
That's right. You did. You said
think.
It absolutely correct.
That's
you
right.
Did.
And,
I would never think.
And I would never call them a name. You know, as abused as I was. Right.
Right. Let me finish. Okay, so you said it correctly, but I just wanted to kind of enunciate that so we could make sure, that point is clear. I just kind of wanted to drive that home. Just because people are abused doesn't mean that they're going to abuse other people. But the people who were abused almost always abuse. But forgiveness, I have a different perspective, and you guys don't have to agree with me, but I don't have to forgive my stepfather. I don't have to forgive my grandmother. I don't have to remain angry about it. I go home and I deal with my stepfather. That's for them to answer for. My grandmother, who is dead right now, she's going to have to answer. I don't have to forgive her. What she did to me was wrong. She damaged me in ways that I struggle with today, and I don't have to forgive her. It wasn't my, like you said, it wasn't my sin. It wasn't my doings. It wasn't my actions. It was hers. And she's, I don't forgive her, I'm numb about it. I don't have to say I forgive you to be able to get past it. I have gotten the stance that she did it. She never apologized for it. She never acknowledged what she did, but she's going to be the one who has to answer for it. My stepfather, he's never apologized for it. He's lollygagged. He's tried to justify it. I don't have to forgive him, but I don't have to hate him over it. He's got to answer for that, not me.
I agree.
His actions,
I post this about almost every other month on Facebook.
Okay.
And I post this, and you may have seen it.
I got to wrap it up. I
say,
90-minute mark.
You have.
Go ahead.
You have the power to forgive, but you have the right to not. I post that all the time. You have the power to forgive, but you have the right to not forgive, and it's okay.
Absolutely.
Either way, you have the right to not forgive, and you have the power to do so. And I post that at least 8 times a year. I post that one post. You have the power to forgive.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to stop you.
You have the right.
I'm going to have to stop you right there.
The very right to not forgive.
Right.
Because here's the deal.
I'm going to have to stop you because
you
show
owe no
ending.
One anything. You owe no one anything. But you owe
I'm
gonna you.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Peace.
I'm going to stop you right there because we are out of time. I'm going to have to do it quickly. Normally, I'd go down the panel, but it's been such an exciting show that we are completely out of time. So, Lori, thank you for calling in. Bill, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Far Brown, thank you for calling in. Roberta, thank you. William, thank you. And we are out of time. I do apologize for that, but it was a fiery show, and I appreciate everybody who's called in. With that said, I'd like to say God bless the children of the world and God bless adult survivors. Guys, please call in. Fire Brown, please call back. Thank you. Good night.
I will. Good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.